Many are getting rich. Many are failing. And many have fallen in their faith. Learn how to become an overcomer in this end time through the anointed teachings of Pastor Ebenezer Okonifa. Pastor Ebenezer Okonifa is an emerging voice and a leader in this end time movement of faith. His message centers on faith, the Holy Spirit, and the realities of the new creation in Christ. He is the senior pastor of Overcomers Nation Church and president of Ebenezer Okonifa Ministries in Accra, Ghana. Become inspired, empowered, and enlightened as you listen to the life-transforming message of God's Word through His special servant. And now, today's message.
Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Spirit of the living God, I submit myself under your mighty hand. Use me to minister your blessed word to your children, and let their lives never be the same again. Let your glory be seen. Fill this entire atmosphere with glory and with grace, and let somebody testify in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let somebody testify of your glorious power. Let somebody testify of a mighty intervention. Let somebody testify of a glorious change in their lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Somebody celebrate the Lord right now. Give the Lord a clap offering. You can add a shout of praise. And I want you to congratulate somebody beside you and tell the person, I see you shining. Tell the person, I'll see you at the top. Because that is where I am going to. In the name of Jesus Christ. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord for just a few minutes. The angels of the Lord are in this place tonight. And I trust God that something supernatural will touch your life. And your life will never be the same again. Glory to Jesus Christ. A number of years ago, almost 2 decades ago, I was in prayer. And the Spirit of the Lord gave me a vision, a prophetic vision. And in the vision, I saw my spirit leave my body. And I saw myself begin to ascend even into the clouds. And as I entered the clouds, I still saw myself ascending higher and higher. Now, as I was ascending, I was instructed in the spirit to look down on the earth and to see the state of the earth and see the state of men in the earth. And as I looked, I saw fires beginning to appear in various continents and in various countries. I saw in America pockets of fire, flames of fire begin to be raised. I saw in Africa fire being raised. I saw in Europe fire being raised. I saw in Asia fire being raised. I saw all over the world various people of various nationalities, and they were being transformed into fire. And I asked the Spirit of the living God that what does this thing mean? And the Lord said that these are the end time people, the church of the end times. I am raising them to become flames of fires, even in the last days. Fires that will be able to affect and touch this world. Look, I didn't understand it then because I had very few scriptures in my spirit. I did not know what God's word spoke concerning the end times. But when you study the book of Joel chapter number 2, you see prophetically that God is raising an army in this end times. And one of the characteristics of this army is that they are going to be a fiery army. The Bible says that a fire devoured before them, and behind them are flames of fire. So in the wake of this prophetic army, it's fire. It's fire. The Bible said that he has made his ministers flames of fire. So people that God sent, and they are walking in the vision and in the power of God, they are like fires in the realm of the spirits. They carry a certain fire that affects generations, that impacts society, that affects lives. So this was one of the prophetic visions that God showed me concerning the end times. And it is out of these and other visions, I hope in the coming days I'm going to relate to you, that this gathering of the children of God started, Prophetic Eagles Convocation. And basically it is about bringing together people that God has
programmed or God has purposed to become mighty eagles, ministers of God in these end times, who carry the grace and the power of God to affect their generation. I believe that you are being turned into a fire. I said, I believe that you are being turned into a fire. Your amen will bring you into a prophetic manifestation. Glory to Jesus Christ. So we started having these gatherings, prophetic eagles convocation, a few years ago, in obedience to the prophetic vision that the Lord showed me. And that is why we are here tonight. And every single year there has been specific prophetic messages that God was sending to us to align and prepare ourselves. In one particular year we were proof producers. In another year we were signs and wonders. The first edition was, who are these that fly? Who are these that fly? And I encourage you, everybody, please make sure you are listening to me, because it is the word that will bring you into the place of manifestation. Are you understanding me? Make sure that as we go through, as we are going, your ears are going to be your tools of change. If you don't hear something that God is saying, you cannot be affected by what God is doing. Are we together? So you need to listen to the message very critically so that you hear the voice of God in the word. When you hear the voice of God in the word and the word gains entrance in your spirit, now you will begin to hear the voice of God in your spirit. He said the entrance of his word giveth light and bringeth understanding to the simple. Meaning the one who does not know can become knowledgeable. The one who does not know can become intelligent. Why? If the word is going to get entrance into the spirit of that person. The reason why many people are coming to church and yet not many are seeing transformation in their lives is because not many are paying attention. A few days ago, I was praying, and the Lord told me, I heard this word, distraction. And I asked the Lord, what does this word mean? He said that this is one of the major arrows that the devil is shooting against you and against many of my children. Distraction. Distraction. If you are not distracted, in the likelihood or the tendency that you will hit the goal or you fulfill purpose is high. If you are not distracted and you are focused, focus is going to be one of the criteria that will distinguish the end time church. Focus, alertness, people who know what they are about and their attention is not shifted to the left or to the right. They are marching their face and their eyes in front of them. So let your eyes be in front of you. They are focused on what God has given them. Many people don't amount to anything in life because they are distracted by so many things. When God wanted to raise somebody out of Adam, he put him to sleep. Why? Because he did not want Adam to be distracted. He needed Adam to be focused. So as we go through this program, please remain focused. Tell somebody, remain focused. Don't let anything distract you. Don't let anything take your attention off the word. Because when you lose the word, you lose what God is saying. Glory to Jesus Christ. And in this edition of PEC, we are focusing on the message, the end time church. The end time army of God. The end time army of God. And by the time we'll be done, I believe that God would have drafted somebody into that end time church. Into that end time army. I said into that end time army. God is raising an army. You see, when we talk about an army, we are not talking about civilians. Civilians are people who are living comfortably in their houses and their homes, taking care of their families. Armies are made of soldiers, and soldiers are selected people. People who are chosen out of the midst of the Lord, and they are taken through training and given certain codes of conduct so that they may come out as militant personalities, militant people who know how to carry themselves about in a particular way. They are not ordinary people. There's no soldier who sees himself as an ordinary citizen or an ordinary member of society. They are reprogrammed. When they go through their camps and they go through their drills and they go through their trainings, there is a transformation in their mentality. There's a transformation in their entire being. And that transformation now begins to affect the way they live their lives. It is not an easy thing to put down somebody who has been trained in a military camp. No. Even if he's sleeping and you touch him, the manner of his arousing is different from an ordinary person. An ordinary person, you say, a person begins to now stretch. A militant person, my God, the person jumps because the person is always trained, ready to fight. Ready to fight. The focus is high. The focus is strong. The person does not think like a civilian. The person's eyes see things that ordinary people don't see. Somebody's hand may be by the side. To an ordinary person, hey, maybe the person has waist space. To the soldier, a militant person, maybe the person has a weapon concealed and is ready to fight. Are you understanding me? They don't see things as ordinary people see them. Their eyes have been trained to see things differently. Their ears have been trained to hear things differently. Even in their mode of communication, they communicate in a certain way, and only if you are among their circle do you understand what they are saying. So God is raising an army in these end times. Meaning this army are not going to be just ordinary people out of the Lord who are just ordinary Christians. They are going to be people who he has trained in a particular way. I call them baked in the oven of the Holy Spirit. Baked in the oven of the Holy Spirit. The end time church is not supposed to be a church that is full of babies. It's a church of people who have been formed and transformed. May you be transformed. I said, may you be transformed. I said, may you be transformed in the name of Jesus Christ. Look, the church of the last days is not meant by God to be a weak and a beggarly one. The church is despised nowadays. Yesterday, I saw a video of a little boy, I don't think he's even up to 12 years old, and he was being asked certain questions on a radio, and he was speaking about Jesus, and was saying certain nasty things. A little boy, speaking high things that are beyond him. But that is what is happening now. The church is insulted. The church is maligned. The church is seen in an inglorious state. Why? Because of the manifestations in the lives of the children of God. But something is about to change in these end times. I said something is changing in these end times. Very soon they will see us and they will know that we are the children of God. They will see us and they will know that we have been born from heaven. He that is from above is above all. They will see the manifestations of the glory of God in our lives. Why? Because we are going to take our place. Say, I'm going to take my place. Say, I'm going to take my place. In the book of Romans chapter 8, verse number 19, the Bible says that for the earnest expectation of the creature is for the manifestation of the sons of God. The earnest desire of everything that God has created is that a certain category of people known as the sons of God will come into the place of manifestation. That they will be revealed. That means that they are not ordinary people in society. They are not the ordinary Christians that you are seeing going left and right. Other than that, would have said that there's no need for expectation because they have already manifested. By saying that creation is waiting for a certain demonstration and a certain manifestation of certain ones that are known as the sons of God. And I'm trusting God that before the end of this meeting, you will understand what we mean by the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? Oh, I'm a child of God. I'm not talking about a child of God. I'm not talking about a child of God. Everybody who is born again, oh my God, lasho parakataya, they come and they receive eternal life, and they come to God as the Father. They miss God as the judge. They miss God as the King. Babies, baby Christians who have just come into the Lord, they know God as the Father. They know him just as somebody who is showing them love and somebody is going to give them blessings. They don't know him as a judge. They don't know him as a lawgiver. They don't know him as a king. They don't know him as one who gives instructions. So you see, when 2,000 Christians gather, it is because of breakthrough. When 20,000 people gather, it is because of healing. That they are not here to hear. So when we say that God is opening doors, traveling opportunities for people, hallelujah, amen. Because somebody is thinking of Canada. Somebody is thinking of Jamaica. Somebody is thinking of America. Somebody is thinking of United Kingdom. Nobody is thinking of Afghanistan. Nobody is thinking of Palestine. Nobody's thinking of Ukraine. At first Ukraine was bad, but now they are taking Ukraine out. Nobody's thinking of these places that are what, because they are not even expecting that God may say that I am selecting you, my son and my daughter, to send you to go and produce change in a war-torn country. These are the babes. These are the children of God. They are always looking for the blessing of the Lord. They are always looking that God will take care of them. They know God as a father, but they don't know God as a Lord. They don't know God as somebody who has come to give them instructions that, hey, your life is not your own. When you grow up to a certain point, you learn how to say that, what will you have me do, Lord? Now, what will you do for me, Lord? There are two kinds of Christians. Those who come and say, Lord, what will you do for me? What will you do for me? I want this, I want that. And then there is another category of Christians who, when they come, it is not about what God will do for me. They are here and say that, Lord, my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. What do you want me to do? What will you have me do? Anything. Their lives are totally surrendered to the Lord. Paul said that to live is Christ, to die is gain. Whether I'm alive or whether I'm dead, it is not unto me. I don't care about my life anymore. Paul said that for the knowledge of Christ, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And he said that the loss that he has suffered, he's not even proud of them. He considered them but done. For the excellency of the knowledge of God, that Christ will be revealed in him. So the vision of the end time church, the vision of those who are going to be drafted into the army, is to be conformed to the character of Christ, to be conformed to the manifestation of the image of Christ, to be conformed to a place where their lives are not fashioned according to their will. It's their lives are not fashioned according to their desires. You know, for the baby Christian, God is there to give you the desires of your heart. For the mature Christian, you have no desires at all. You don't even have a heart. Your heart is lost in God. And now inside your chest is burning the fire of the heart of God. Your heart and the heart of God have become intermingled, commingled, intertwined, married into one. That is why Elijah will get to the point and say that, there will be no rain on this land except at my word, because he has matured to the place where his word is the word of God. What he says is what God has said. Not because he wants to boast, because that he's a powerful prophet, but he has come to the place where the man, we don't even know his background. We don't know which family he came from. All we saw was 1 Kings chapter 17. The Bible tells us that the man just appeared out of nowhere. Elijah, the Tishbite. He just came out of nowhere. You see, when we get to that place of maturity, we become dead men. Our reputation does not matter. We don't care about what men know about our lives. All that we care is what we did for Christ and in Christ during our time. It's not about making a name for yourself. It's not about gathering laurels, gathering plaques, gathering awards of men that you are not going to go anywhere with. But it is all about what I did. My economy is the economy of Christ. It's not about the houses I leave behind. It's not about the name that I leave behind. It's not about what I came to achieve. My achievement does not matter. My achievement does not matter. You see, that is why, even though they say that Elisha did double of the miracles of Elijah was never raptured. It was Elijah who was carried into glory. Elisha represented the Christian whose senses are alive, whose desires are alive. That is why when he came out from the wilderness, after seeing Elijah lifted and carried into heaven, he met little children who were making fun of him. Immediately his anger was activated. Oh my God. Kuradabaya. Elijah did not have any anger. He did not have any anger in him. Even when Elisha said, let me go and do it, when Elisha came back, he accepted him. Elijah was a man who was dead to himself. Elijah, even though he was anointed and powerful, was very alive in his senses. And so he lived for himself. When little children make fun of him, he said, let bears appear out of nowhere, and the bears destroy them. When his servant Gehazi, for a little knock of fuel that he will enjoy, maybe Gehazi's wife was in labor and he needed some money, we don't know. That's why he took the cloths as well. Maybe there was something. But as for Elijah said, they might spirit. You see, he was demonstrating how anointed he was. He said that because of how anointed I am, instead of standing in to intercede for the deliverance of Gehazi, the Bible said that the calamity that was upon the one that God has delivered is coming upon you. The man cursed him instantly. A generation of Christians who are alive to themselves, who are alive to reputation, who are alive to the applause of men, who are alive to the blessings and the celebration of men, cannot arise and ascend into the glorious state. Into the glorious state. And that is where God is bringing the end time church to. The end time church is not a weak and a beggarly church. The end time church is a glorious church. A church that is endowed with the very glory of God. Our economy, our environment is the environment of glory. In the book of Ephesians chapter number 5, you read from the verse number 25 to the verse number 27. The Bible begins to talk about marriage, but he uses it as an allegory. And he's teaching something that is more powerful than marriage. Is that husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And he gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present unto himself a glorious church. A glorious church. He might present unto himself what? A glorious church. I want you to take note of the word. A glorious church. Not a weak church, not a beggarly church, not a sick church, not a church that is defeated, but a church that is walking in victory, a church that is walking in glory. And as I'm speaking to you right now, I prophesy even into your life, your glory is about to manifest. The world is about to see the glory of God manifest in your life. That is your destiny. He said, not having spots or wrinkle or any such thing. Not having any blemish in it. A church that is without blemish. A church that is without blemish. So basically, if you are taking the church as a woman, we are looking at the woman whose face is totally smooth. There's no stress, wrinkles anywhere. We are talking about a woman when she smiles, all the angels begin to sing. She carries the excellency of beauty. A woman without any pimples, spots, or scars. What, in fact, why do you do makeup? You want to hide something. Amen and amen. I said, you want to hide? Oh, come on. Oh, I said, come on. It's when I look through right now, and I look even on top of the heads of the women in this place, you can see about 80-90% are hiding something. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. So he's using the illustration of how a woman carries or prepares herself to look glorious. And when she is looking glorious, especially on the day of her marriage. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Somebody went to marry a certain woman, and when he got to the house, they had gone for their honeymoon, and he had gone to the hotel. The young man was ready to do his assignments. My goodness! And so he went to wash down, and he was in his boxes, and he said, "Honey," and he said, "Oh, I'm coming." And then she went, "Hey, wig off, nails off, eyelash off, nose off." As the man was watching in horror, things were just coming up like that. Finally, he said, what I ordered for and what I got. Glory to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But in the church of Jesus Christ, what is coming out at the end is more, going to be more glorious than what he ordered for. And that is you. Somebody give the Lord a shout of praise. And God is saying that in this last days, that is the assignment of the Holy Spirit on the earth. To raise a glorious church. A church without spot and wrinkle. That means that there's hope for you. If there's a wrinkle, a spot, something inglorious, a sickness, poverty, weakness in you. The Bible is telling us that God is on a program, on an agenda, working in your life. Because you and I are the church.
Are we together? Are we together?
There's something I realize about the church and about the end time army of God. They always come in desolate. They come in inglorious. They come in weak, indebted, distressed. They come in disgrace. But by the time the anointing is done with them, they come out as mighty men. I said they come out as mighty men. Look at the prophetic mighty men of David. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter number 22, you read from the verse number 1 and the verse number 2, they came to the cave of Adullam, where David was in exile. The man was running away everywhere, a fugitive, being chased by the king. The Bible said that unto him came the indebted, the distressed, those who were troubled. And the Bible said he made him king over them. They made him a king over them. But by the time we get to 2 Samuel chapter number 23, you read from the verse number 5 downwards, the Bible tells us that now these men who were indebted, these men who were in shame, these men who were distressed, these men who were troubled, these men who were the ones, they were the dung, the dirty things of the earth. They had become mighty men. And when you look at their characteristics, my God, my God, my God, God had fashioned something beautiful. We serve a God who can pick a man out of nothing and bring something out of that person. He can take a pauper and will turn the person to become a millionaire. The Bible says he lifts one out of the dunghill and it sets him amongst princes. I see God making you a prince. I see God bringing majesty and glory out of your life. I see God causing you to become a sign and a wonder. I see God making you an example to your world. Your glory shall be seen. I say your glory shall be seen. I hear the Lord saying that I should tell somebody, don't give up. Don't give in. Everybody's looking down on you. But the Bible says, weeping endures for the night. You may be in the night of your life. Things are not going the way you expect them to be. Everything seems to be falling down and falling apart around you. But I have a news for you. Your morning is about to come. I say your morning is about to come. Weeping endures for the night. Are you weeping right now? Are you shattered right now? Are you distressed right now? Are you in pain right now? Are you looking down on yourself right now? This prophecy is for you. Your morning is coming. Joy is with the morning. Glory is with the morning. Peace is with the morning. Favor is with the morning. Transformation is with the morning. Victory is with the morning. I prophesy to 7 people under the sound of my voice. By tomorrow morning, something glorious is coming out of your life. Something beautiful is coming out of your life. Something honorable is coming out of your life. Out of the ashes, I see some glory arising. Out of the ashes, I see something glorious. Something that shall be testified about you. You are the one I am talking to. I say you are the one I am talking to. I say you are the one I am talking to. In your family, there is sickness and weakness. In your family, there's poverty. In your family, nobody's amounting to anything. In your family, there's rejection. In your family, people are dying. But out of that same family, the Bible says he's able to call light to come out of darkness. You are not getting me. Who has the material that can create light out of darkness? Only God. And out of the dark situation in your family, out of the dark situation that you are in right now, I see God calling light. I see God calling light. I see God calling glory. I see God calling beauty. I see God calling excellence. I see God calling victory. Somebody, your story is changing. I feel something happening here. Your story is changing. Your story is changing. Your story is changing. No great person has come out of your family before. Tell them the story of the family has changed. Look at me. I am a story of greatness. Look at me. I am a story of victory. Look at I feel like dancing. I feel like shouting. Because I am the project of God. The Bible says, for we are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus, unto glorious works, unto good works. Something good is coming out of my life. Are you among the weak? Are you among the rejected? Are you among the desolate? The Bible says, tell the desolate one, I now not the desolate. It's the one that is sought after. The one who was rejected shall be called Beulah. But she shall be married. She shall be married. She shall be married. When nobody was looking for you, you were called forsaken. My God, my God, my God. Let every forsaken person here hear the voice of the Lord. Now they are going to look for you. They are going to come from east and west. And they are going to look for you. Beautiful ashes. Beautiful ashes. Beautiful ashes. My God, my God, my God. Out of ashes, something glorious. Out of ashes, something wonderful. Out of ashes, something powerful. My Akata city, Rebakata. That is the story of your life. That is what God is working on. In this end time, give the Lord a shout. He said, a glorious church, no one with spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And this is how the church of the end times is supposed to be, that we are characterized by glory. That when they want to describe us, they cannot use any inglorious words. Our description according to scripture is a glorious church. That is the picture that God is giving us concerning these end times. And it said, so what does the word, what does glory mean? Glory is from the Greek word doxa. Doxa is a beautiful word. It means glory. It means dignity. Oh my God. Every time you are walking, you are looking down, you are trying to hide your face. It's because you don't feel as though you are dignified. But the Lord says, He's going to change that situation. He's going to change that situation. It means honor. It means that which is so attractive that it attracts praise or worship. It attracts praise or worship. It means out of your life, when people look at your life, they begin to praise God. God is working on something in you, and that is the assignment of the Holy Spirit in this end time church. God doesn't want us to be called a rejected. And listen to me, this thing is not to excite you. I'm not here to announce something to you to make you excited and then say, no. I'm telling you the mind of God. This is how God wants it to be. And that's why I'm telling you that you need to be attentive, because many have told about the end result, but they don't know the way. And when you don't know the way, you become frustrated, because revelation without manifestation results in frustration. Many people are leaving church. It is not because they don't love God. It's because they've been told in church that something beautiful is coming out of your life, and they have been waiting for 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, 15 years, and they are still not seeing any manifestation. So now it makes the message sound a bit difficult to hear. Why? Because the person doesn't know the way. In Christ there are ways. And until you discover the way, you realize that you'll be shouting amen, 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 and you still not see any manifestation. Very soon, when you wake up to come to church, you feel as though, what am I going to attain? But there are ways in God. Even Jesus said, I am the way. The Bible says concerning the early Christians, they were the followers of the way. So there are ways that you need to find out. When you see that there's some manifestations are not coming in your life, ask yourself, have I discovered the way to this victory? Glory to Jesus Christ. So we are supposed to be so glorious that we attract worship and we attract praise. Another word is splendor, brightness, shining, magnificence. The end time church is supposed to be a magnificent church. And it is becoming so. Excellence. The Bible says, out of Zion proceeds the excellence of beauty. Everything that is the best should be associated with the church. Preeminence. In other words, we are supposed to come first place in all things. May God raise somebody like that over here. Glory from doxa also means majesty. It means, listen to this, a most glorious condition, a most exalted or elevated state. That means that where we are is not where God wants us to be. There's a higher place of manifestation, an exalted place, a lifted place that we are supposed to get to. The Bible tells us about the church of the end times in Isaiah chapter, is it number 2? It says that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be exalted at the top of the mountains, and all the nations shall flow unto it. All the nations shall flow unto it. So the end time church is an exalted church. It's an exalted church. A church that has been lifted up in its glory capacity, in its glory dimension. You see, as you grow in the spirit, what grows about you is your glory state. The state of glory is in dimensions. As you feed on the word and you begin to ascend in the realm of the spirit, you enter into a place of exaltation. That is where Jesus ascended on into. That's why when Jesus resurrected and he was praying, he was telling the Lord that, Lord, glorify thy son, that thy son also may be glorified thee. And so when Jesus returned from the grave in his exalted state, now nature could not hold him anymore. The Bible tells us that even locked buildings will appear over there. The Bible told us that the number of miracles that Jesus performed after he was exalted, after he was lifted, the Bible says that if there are books that were written concerning these miracles, there will not be enough books to contain them. So an exalted state is where God wants us to be, a place where there are manifestations. We have ascended, oh God, ascending in our glory measure, our glory components. The Bible tells us, as we behold with an open face the glory of God in a mirror, the Bible says we are changed into that same image. What image? The image of glory that we are seeing in the mirror. The Bible says from glory to what? Glory. So the experience of your life as a child of God is a reflection of the state of glory that you have ascended or has been exalted into. So there are certain manifestations you see in the life of Sister A and you're not seeing the life of Sister B. Their state of glory is not the same. The Bible says each star differeth in glory. The dimension of glories are different. If you want to see greater manifestations, it means that your glory capacity and your glory account must increase. You must rise. You must be exalted. You see one Christian always battling with demons. Another Christian is also always celebrating financial testimonies. Look, they are in different states of glory. When you get to a certain capacity in the spirit, you don't wrestle with the devil. No. The devil even finds you irritating. Come on, light and darkness, can they meet? They cannot meet. So, if you find yourself stuck at a certain place of manifestation, and all the time you are struggling with certain things, don't think that you need more prayer meetings. No, you need more glory. You need to ascend in glory. And tonight I'm going to trust God to share with you how you can ascend in glory and you take your exalted place as a child of God. So the doxa means a glorious condition, a most exalted state, a condition of blessedness. Now all of these things are translations from the strong, these are direct translations from the Greek. It is not me who have coined words over here. They are direct translations from the Greek. Meaning that word doxa is talking about you getting to a place where your life is a picture of blessedness. That means that when we are praying the prayer that any curse that is fighting me, you are not part of that prayer. When we come to church, depending on your state of maturity and your position in the spirit, there are certain prayers that you are not part of. There are some prayers that are for babies. There are some prayers that are for people depending on the state that they have gotten to. In the book of 1 John, I think the chapter number 2, you read from the verse number 14 or 13 and 14 thereabouts, John writes to the church and he says that, I write unto you little children. I write unto you, and then he says, I write unto you fathers. And then he says, I write unto you young men. So he's talking to different categories of Christians. There are little children Christians. He said that, my little children, this is I write unto you, that you sin not. Little children struggle with sins. Today they are sinning, and the devil is saying, I'm feeling so bad about my sins. So little children, they struggle with sins. You can change the white and use something that is more visible, please. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. So the struggles of little children are not the same as the struggles of the young men. He wrote to the young men, he said, I write unto you, young men, because you are strong. Because you are strong. So the young man right now it has become a competition of strength. Glory to Jesus Christ. When you get to the place of young man Christianity, when you meet together, Papa, this is when I went to speak over here, the things that God started doing. Glory to Jesus Christ. There is another person also come. So, I sinned here. Oh, this is the devil got me there. You are always struggling with it. It depends on your level. Your level is a problem of levels. The dimension you are operating from. You are all Christians, but you are different dimensions of glory. Different dimensions of glory. I write unto you, little children, I sin not. I write unto you, young men, because you are strong. And he says that you have overcome the evil one. He says that, and because the word of God is in you. Little children know how much of the word. I'm going ahead of myself. He said, I write unto you, Father, because you have known him that is from the beginning. You have known him that is from the beginning. Glory to Jesus Christ. So we need to arise into a state of no wrinkle and no inglorious thing. Glory to Jesus Christ. So the glory of the end time church is going to be heralded by the army of God, the end time army of God. And this one is very important because of these three categories I've spoken about. The little children, even though they are in a state of glory, but most of the time, little children have what we call potential glory. Spiritually, if you are to see them, you see that they carry a certain glory, but manifestation-wise, they are not seeing expression. They are not seeing expression. These ones, even though they are glorified, because everyone in Christ is glorified, they are not manifesting the glory. They are not manifesting glory. So Romans chapter 8 verse 9 says that for the manifestation of the sons of God. But you read further down and it tells us that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the sons of God. And it tells us that we are children of God. And it tells us that we are co-heirs with Christ Jesus. Now, when you understand the Greek behind these things, you realize that the words and the terminologies are different. At one point, it's using a word called hues. Hues is talking about the mature sons. At that point, he uses technon. Technon means a child. A child, so everybody is a child of their parents, whether you are old or young. But when we talk about a hues, we are talking about a mature child. Somebody whom the father can now talk to as though he's his brother. Are we together? So you need to understand that though we are all children of God, when we are talking about mature sons, we are talking about those who are manifesting the glory. They are not just carrying potential. They are coming to a place where there is expression. People can actually see God at work in them. They don't need to tell anybody that God is in me. People see you and they see the experience of your life and they know that, indeed, God is in you and is with you. Glory to Jesus Christ. I see 10 people rising to that stage. If you are one of them, shout, I am the one. So these ones are going to be called the overcomers in the end times. Now when you study the Bible in the book of Revelation chapter number 2 and the chapter number 3, you realize that the writer or the prophet speaking or sending the message of Jesus spoke to 7 different churches. And in all the churches, he tells them that he that overcometh. He that overcometh. In other words, even though he's writing to the church, not everyone will overcome. Not everyone will overcome. So, when we talk about the end time army of God, we are not talking about the mass body of believers. The mass body of believers, yes, we are all militants, we are all the militant church. The militant church is a church that is alive and active and working for God. But not everyone is going to make it to the war front. Not everyone is going to be sent. Now, understand me. If there is a war going on, is it all the soldiers in the country that go out? Some, they look at them and they say that, no, you stay behind, other than that, we'll lose the battle. We will lose the battle. So they take their skillful. They take those who have shown that they are different from among the lot. And they send them out there to go and represent the country. And so when these ones come back, they are known as decorated soldiers. because they have gone. They fought the battle, they won the battle, and they have come back with a victory. And so when we talk about the end time army of God, we are talking about this category in the militant church that God is raising. Now, in the Bible always gives us prophetic indicators in the Old Testament. In the book of Judges chapter number 7, you see Gideon being told by the Spirit of God that he was going to use him to affect or to bring deliverance to Israel. So Gideon sends out a call that let there be an army. And when he makes the call, 32,000 men gather that they are going to be part of this army that Gideon was going to use to bring deliverance to the children of Israel. The Bible tells us in the verse number 3 of Judges 7 that the Lord said that this number is too many. They are too many. Even though they were less than their enemies, God said that they were too many. And so he gives out an announcement. Anybody who is afraid, let them go home. The Bible says that by the time the announcement has not even landed, 22,000 have disappeared. Somebody is just thinking about God. The last time I touched my wife, is that the last time? Somebody's thinking about God. I went fishing and I caught some tilapia. Will I not eat that tilapia? You see, the first exclusion criteria for the militant church, the army of God, is a test of courage. A test of courage. There are many of us, God cannot put certain assignments in our hands because we are too afraid. We are too weak. Let's say you come to church and then God says that I want to take this project in church. And then you look at your account. So you are even afraid of loss. So 22,000 just went back straight. God cannot trust such an individual. He said, tell them, anyone who is afraid, let them go back. Anyone who does not have courage, who does not have stamina, let them go back. 22,000 went back. The Bible said they were left with 10,000. Even the 10,000, God said that they are too many. So what does he do? He gives them a test. And out of this test, he reduces that number to 300. 300 soldiers will meet hundreds of thousands of enemies. That is when you see that it's indeed the power of God. Indeed the power of God. I'll tell you how the inclusion criteria in the subsequent days. But I want you to understand from today's message, not everyone. Listen, for all you know, all of you are seated over here. But if we are going to use the case of Gideon to be a scale, 300 out of 32,000, what's the percentage? Less than 1%. How many are we over here? And we are going to say that we are going to use a scale. Then how many of us? It means that if we are going to use that as a scale, it's possible that only a section over here are going to be part of the end time army. It sounds funny, but it's not that funny. It means that the majority will only be carrying potential and not carry manifestation. May God find you worthy to place you into that army, to draft you in. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to Jesus Christ. Now, with these men also, you see that they come in desolate. They come in weak. I've told you about the army of David already. 1 Samuel chapter 22 verse 1 and 2. The Bible said those that were in debt, everyone that was discontented, everyone that was in distress, they gathered themselves unto David and he became the captain of them. Can you imagine the army of David? A captain of weak men. A captain of discontented men. A captain of desolate men. A captain of distressed men. A captain of indebted men. But that is the kind of army that God likes. The Bible says he chose the weak and the foolish things of this world, so that he will make the world's wisdom look foolish. I see God disgracing the world system through you. I see God using you as an example to disgrace the systems of this world. By the time they were done, oh my goodness, time will not allow me to talk about the victories of the mighty men of David. Who are these overcomers? These overcomers are transformed men. Men who have been changed. Men who have been changed from their natural state to carry the glory of Christ's image. Romans chapter 8 verse 28 to the verse number 30. The Bible says, we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed unto the image of his son. Now when he said the image of his son, he was not talking about the image of Jesus on the cross. He was talking about the image of Jesus glorified. So the image was not the image of Jesus in his weak state. It was in the state of Jesus in his glorified state. This is the picture of the end. So Jesus came to finish the work, and he laid down the patent. He laid down the image. He laid down the pattern that our lives were supposed to be. The Bible says, for them whom he did foreknow, he did what? Predestinate. And those who he did predestinate, the Bible says, what did he do? Glory to Jesus. Them whom he did foreknow, he predestinated. Those he predestinated, he called. Those he called, he justified. And those he justified, what did he do? He glorified. Meaning the end state of everyone that God calls is glory. Is glory. Is glory. So, the overcomers are those who have arisen to the mandate of manifesting the glory of God. When you come to that place, you don't come to church seeking for miracle, because you are a miracle, a walking miracle. When you come just to sharpen yourself to go and manifest more glory. Oh, you are not getting it. We come in to be saved. We stay in to keep improving. Philip went to in Acts chapter number 8. He went to Samaria. He preached the message. Now the men came in. The Bible says in the verse number 8, and the whole city was full of joy. But you see, the joy of salvation is not enough. Men must grow. So you get to the verse number 12. He began to preach to them about the kingdom of God and of Jesus Christ. It is the teaching about the kingdom that causes you to begin to mature. We must grow to become kingdom citizens. Then they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and of Jesus Christ. And the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. They were now framed into the nature of Christ. You must grow. You must grow. These things that I'm teaching you, don't let them look like they are some fairy tale. Some of you are not even understanding anything that I'm saying. I'm like, what is all this thing that he's talking about? Glory to Jesus Christ. But you see, you must be transformed. You must be transformed. When you are changed into a higher, exalted state of glory. At that dimension, even your angelic, the number of angels that come around you are many. A story is said concerning Catherine Coleman. One day she was supposed to be driven somewhere. When she sat in the car sparked, the car was not moving. They did everything to the car still will not move. And then Catherine Coleman told them that, it is not a mechanical problem. The angels are too many. So it means that apart from the angels that were going with her, other angels that were going somewhere, said, hey, Catherine, come on, this area. Let us come and sit around. They were sitting on the car. She said that, angels, get up. We have to go somewhere. When she said that, the car started moving. Angelic overload. You see, because you don't want to get to that place, you're not clapping for Catherine Coleman. Some people are not even interested. They are just waiting for, there's a witch that is working in your family. And that witch has been working for the past 750 years, 3 months, 2 days, 5 seconds. Just, deliver me, man of God. When you get to a certain place, you don't need deliverance. You become a deliverer. You don't look for deliverance. My God. The devil is looking to be delivered of you. Look, the other day, one of my daughters came to tell me there was a time I prayed over some bottle of oil and communion wine, and she wanted to give it to her brother in school. And then the devil sent a certain senior, Obi oil, Nene, communion wine, that was a home bank. The guy came Me, I believe he was demonized. Came, opened his window, and he took the oil, broke it on the ground. And then he took the communion wine and went to pour it in a gutter. Look, you see, the devil in the school was feeling the thing. So he had to send an agent to come and scatter the two that we have sent over there. When you rise to a certain level, the devil, you don't look for deliverance from the devil. The devil now goes to prayer meetings so that God will deliver. I see somebody tormenting the devil over here. I see a tormentor of the works of the enemy. You are a problem for the devil. I say you are a problem for the devil. I say you are a problem for the devil. The devil doesn't want this meeting, you know, because people are being empowered. You see, I'm a terror to the works of the enemy. That's why sometimes when some of you haven't realized that when you are coming for some services, you see, don't go. The devil knows that your deliverance is here. Your intervention is here. I am a problem for the devil. I have been a problem for the devil for a long time. And I will not stop being a problem. I will scatter the devil everywhere. Shakabara and Teso Kataya. And I don't need to be praying to be a problem for the devil. All I need to do is to appear. Oh, when the light appears, shadows begin to shift. I am the light of my world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hidden. I am a lighted city. See, I know who I am. This is Christianity. Christianity is not, Lord, give me a breakthrough. God, give me. Christianity is walking in the knowledge of who you are. In the knowledge of who you are. He said, children, not born of men, not born of flesh or blood, not of the will of man, but born of God. Born of God. He said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcometh the world? He that is born of God. This is Christianity. Christianity is a journey of victory and victory. Glory. Baradaya. It's a journey of constant victories. That is Christianity, my dear sister. That is Christianity. Christianity is not the weak kind of church that we have. That whenever there is COVID-19 and you see Christians running for cover, and some go and take cover in face masks, saying that, they said that if you take, if you wear face mask, it reduces your chances of getting a sickness. My God. What reduces the chance of you getting sickness is just by being you. You just need to be you. When you become you, the life of God that is in you, the Bible says, if the spirit of he that raised us Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal body. He said, he shall revitalize. He shall energize. He shall... That means that wherever there is death, when you appear, life has appeared. And he said, Adam became a living soul. But Christ... So everything that was born of Adam was born a living soul. So we receive life when we're born of Adam. But Christ became a life-giving spirit, a quickening spirit, meaning anyone and everyone and anything that is born of Christ, we don't just receive life, we begin to dispense life, we begin to distribute life. When dead people come around us, they come alive. When dead situations are put into our hands, we bring life back into them. That is Christianity. Christianity is the pulsating life of God in a human vessel. Paul said that, for we carry this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of glory and of power may not be of us but unto him. Say, I know who I am. Say, I'm not ordinary. Say, I carry glory. You know who you are. You are glorious. Look, anybody who looks at you and says you are not beautiful, the person is so blind. Tell the person, I'll take you to an eye clinic. You need spectacles. Because out of Zion comes the perfection of beauty. There's nothing more beautiful than me. What does perfection of beauty mean? The perfection of beauty. The perfection of beauty. Judge no man after the flesh. For we once knew Christ after the flesh, but now after the flesh know him no more. When you begin to mature, your scale of judgment changes. You don't judge according to the natural senses. You see by the eyes of the Spirit. You value by the weight of the Spirit. Your economy is not the economy of man. Your economy is the economy of the Spirit. That is why a man that is filled with the Spirit can just give up everything. Because he knows that he's not held by anything. Nothing binds him. A baby Christian is bound by this world and by the things of this world. But when you have grown up, you know that you are a man on assignment, a woman on assignment. In that place, there's no disappointment. You don't ask God for things. God comes and discusses things with you. He appeared unto Abraham and said, shall I go and do this thing without consulting my friend Abraham? Shall I go ahead and do this thing? And when Abraham had interceded and spoken on behalf, when the angels got there, did you realize the angels could not do anything until they had driven Lot out of the city? So if Lot had said, I won't go, because Abraham was praying, they could not destroy the city. We are men with authority. We are men who carry weight in the Spirit. Karadosh. They said, go quickly. Santa Bashataya. The church is not a weak church. We are a glorious church. I feel somebody's bones coming alive. I see fire entering into somebody's bones. There's somebody that is being raised by the Spirit of God as a drafted member of the end time army. Ready to be revealed in this last age. Wherever you are, if you are part of this army, begin to pray in the Spirit. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Rise up to your feet wherever you are. Today we have nothing to pray by the Spirit. To pray the Spirit for the expressions of the Holy Ghost in our lives. We have just about 2 minutes of prayer. Liko Shantaya Mandele Belebeya Liga Badabadaba Kanto Zibidi Kete Lebedebeke Manto Libakata Villa Bado Shapalataya Mendelebekatoya.
We hope that you've been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, visit our website www.ebenezeropoipa.com or call 0546 363957. God bless you.